Well, thank you so much for having me with you. I'm really appreciative of the warm welcome that you have given to me. And it's really wonderful as a Christian to be able to turn up and meet all these strangers who I don't know, but at the same time to have that fellowship, that connection, to know that you love Jesus, I love Jesus, and that we are family together. So thank you for having me today. What I'm about to do is not quite your standard sermon where you just take one passage of the Bible and step through it and explain all the details. What I'll be doing is a bit more topical, so you will need to have your Bibles out, and later on in the sermon especially, I'll be getting you to look up lots of Bible passages. But before we get there, why don't we begin with prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. Please remove distractions from our minds, help us to concentrate, and we ask that you would teach us and that you would help us to delight in Jesus and to love him more and more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to begin by asking you, what do you drink when you are thirsty? Imagine a hot summer's day, 42 degrees. You've been outside in the hot sun doing physical manual labor. What is the best thing to drink to satisfy your thirst? I wonder if you remember the TV commercials for the ultimate thirst crusher, a can of Solo. But if you ever drink a can of Solo, well, at first it tastes delicious and you feel so much better for a few short seconds, and then the sugar hits you. And there is so much sugar in that that you are left more thirsty than you were before you drank it. Well, when I was in high school, I remember going to a friend's birthday party, and we were 16-year-olds. We'd been told alcohol would not be permitted, but one of my friends secretly took in some alcohol anyway, and as the night went on, he got a bit drunk. It was a very hot day. We spent most of the time outdoors, and he got very dehydrated. So he saw someone had left a water bottle on the ground in the backyard, so he picked it up. He didn't know who owned it. He didn't care, and he just took a great big gulp and discovered it was not water inside that bottle, but vodka. Another friend had also secretly brought in alcohol, disguising it in a water bottle. And so, well, it serves him right, doesn't it? But this guy went away even more thirsty and feeling far more uncomfortable than he did in the first place. And so he had to continue his search for another drink. You see, if you are thirsty and you drink the wrong thing, it can just make the problem worse. Now, those examples of soft drink with too much sugar, or immature 16-year-olds drinking alcohol at a party, it can seem a bit trivial. But at its extreme, thirst can kill you. Explorers lost in a desert must find water or they will die. Sailors in a lifeboat, lost at sea, must find fresh water or they will die. An impoverished child in the slums of Nairobi must find clean water to drink or they will die. Thirst is actually a life and death issue. And you cannot just drink anything. If the explorer in the desert pursues the mirage, they will die. If the sailors drink salty seawater, they will die. And if the child in the slums drinks dirty, diseased water, they will die. You need drink to live, but if you drink from the wrong place, it can prove fatal. Now, the same is true of food as well. You need food to live. But if you eat the wrong thing, you know, maybe your little brother's cooking or something like that, it could kill you. Well, We come now to Isaiah chapter 55. In this passage, we hear a voice crying out in the marketplace, inviting us to come and have a drink and to come and have something to eat. So imagine yourself in an ancient marketplace. The street is filled with shops selling fruit and vegetables, wine, milk, oil, and all sorts of wonderful things. Huge crowds of people are cramming into that street to buy some food or to find a bargain. And then in all that busyness of that market, one shop owner stands up on his ancient equivalent of a milk crate and cries out in a loud voice, "Come to my shop. I've got the best deal you will ever find. I've got everything you need. I've got food and drink, wine, oil, milk. Come and eat. Come and have a drink. And even if you have no money, come anyway, because it is all free." Well, that is the picture in Isaiah. But it's also obvious that God is not really concerned with filling your belly and giving you a free feed. Now, Isaiah is concerned with something far more important, and that is the hunger and the thirst in our hearts, in our souls. Just as our bodies need food and drink to survive, in the same way our souls need spiritual food and spiritual drink to survive and to be healthy. So in that marketplace, with all the crowd and all these competing voices, God cries out to us, "Come, all who are thirsty. Come to the waters, you who have no money. Come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost." Now, there are many other shops, many other voices in the marketplace that also want our attention. But they are selling food or drink that cannot satisfy us. And some of them will be selling food that might be dangerous, might be dirty, will give you food poisoning. And so immediately after God makes the call to come and eat and drink, he then gives a warning. In verse 2, "Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Be warned, don't waste your money at the wrong shop. Beware of these alternatives that promise you that they will satisfy your thirst and your hunger, but they cannot." Now, we know this. Every time we turn on the TV, you see all these TV commercials promising you if you buy this product, then you will be happy and satisfied. Just like this actor that we paid to smile in front of the cameras, and yet we still fall for it. Or perhaps you've seen TV shows like Oprah, with all these special segments to tell you the secrets to happy, successful living that will satisfy your thirst. Things like superfoods, quinoa and goji berries. Now, someone's seen it. Yeah, well, to me that sounds bizarre. Do you really think goji berries are the solution to life's problems? And even if superfoods can give you the perfect body and perfect health, that does not guarantee that you will then have healthy relationships. Perhaps you've sat in the waiting room at the doctor or the hairdresser, and there's those magazines with all kinds of articles about health and financial security, lifestyle, relationship advice, and they promise you, "Listen to me, and your soul will be satisfied." But then there's other places we go looking, which are much more dangerous. Places which are actually sinful, and yet we go there to find satisfaction. For so many people, they turn to pornography. For some people, they turn to having an affair. For others, it's drinking too much alcohol, Or for some, it's even taking illicit drugs at parties, thinking, this will make me happy. This will fill that hole in my heart, and it never does. People who turn to those things always go away more thirsty than they were before, and then have to live with the disastrous consequences of their actions. So to the person who looks to pornography, or the affair, or alcohol, or drugs, or even the things that might not necessarily be sinful, like financial security or a successful career. If you look to those things to satisfy your thirst, God is saying to you in verse 2, why spend money on what is not bread and labor on what does not satisfy? Now, if you wish to find satisfaction for your thirst, then God says to you, listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Now, I believe the translation that was read for us before was richest of food, but it's strange language to us. We don't use language like that very often. The original language actually says not richest of fare or rich food. It actually uses the word fat. I went for dinner recently with friends and we had a pork roast with the most delicious pork crackling. Although if you're Jewish, you're probably not eating pork crackling. For Isaiah's audience, they're probably thinking the fattened calf. That's the animal that would get slaughtered for the very special occasion like a wedding. You only get to eat that really special food on the very special occasions. I don't know what the equivalent would be for us. Maybe lobster or truffles, or looking at some of the younger people here, maybe it's a Big Mac. I don't know. What is your favorite food? It's that special food that Mum only ever lets you have on the very, very rare occasion. Well, God is saying to us, when we listen to the voice of God, when you listen to him in the scriptures, God's word is a delicious, nourishing feast for our soul. Do you remember what Jesus said when he was in the wilderness being tempted by the devil? Jesus quoted from the Old Testament and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So what we're going to do now is turn to the pages of the New Testament and we'll see how does Jesus use this concept of food and drink in his own teaching. We will focus our attention on John's Gospel. And so if you have a Bible and you haven't got it out yet, now is the time. We're going to look up several different passages. Firstly, in John chapter 4, that's the passage that was read for us before and you have there in your outlines. So John chapter 4, and we'll read from verses 13 to 18. To remind you of the context, Jesus is standing at the well with the woman from Samaria, and you know she's there to draw water, and Jesus says to her, so from chapter 4 and verse 13, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming back to this well to draw water. Jesus told her, go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not even your husband. It is a strange conversation. Jesus has confronted this woman with the fact that she has been looking to romance, to satisfy her thirst. But when the first guy didn't satisfy her, she jumps to the next guy who didn't satisfy her, and so she jumps to the next guy and the next guy, and she is still thirsty. And so now Jesus invites her to come to him, not for another romantic relationship, but so that he might be the one who will meet her deepest spiritual thirst. And he promises her that with him she will never be thirsty again. Well, we're going to turn to another passage. So flip forward a little bit further, still in John's Gospel, to chapter 6 and verses 32 to 35. John 6, 32 to 35. In this passage, Jesus has just miraculously fed a crowd of 5,000 people. And he's now talking to the crowds about true food that comes from heaven. So from verse 32, Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." See, Jesus himself is food and drink to satisfy the thirst and hunger of our souls. Later on, Jesus spoke about his body and his blood, his death, as being the thing that will give us eternal life. Well, we have another passage to go to, one more chapter, to John chapter 7, and we will look at verses 37 to 38. In this passage, Jesus is at a great big feast, a big celebration in Jerusalem, and there's a huge crowd gathered together at the temple. And so from chapter 7, verse 37, we read, "On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him.'" Now, I've just touched briefly on a few different passages, but I hope you can see the amazing claim that Jesus is making. He uses this metaphor of food and drink again and again to say, well, it's not just be good little Christians and go and read your Bibles. He's actually saying that he himself is food and drink for our souls. So on the one hand, the Bible does talk about God's Word, the Bible, being food and drink for our souls. But now Jesus talks about himself as being food and drink for our souls. So how do we put these together? Are these two different options on the menu? I could go and have a Bible feast with Jesus somehow not being involved? Or can I go and feast on Jesus with somehow the Bible not being involved? Well, to help us put them together, we have one more passage to look up. So still in John's Gospel, but this time back to chapter 5. So John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. Now in this passage, Jesus is rebuking the Jews and the Jewish leaders for refusing to believe in him. And so from verse 39, Jesus says, "You diligently study the scriptures, because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. You see, what good is it to read your Bible day after day if you refuse to come to the person that the Bible is pointing you to? It would be a bit like reading a map, studying every road, knowing where every hill is located. Every detail on that map is memorized, but you never leave your front door and you never go anywhere. What's the point? The Bible is not simply saying, read the Bible because the Bible is so wonderful. Rather, it is warning us, you know, don't just read the Bible for the sake of Bible knowledge, because you could be like the scribes or the Pharisees of Jesus' day. You could know your Bible so well and still be spiritually dead. Rather, this is a call to listen to God's word, which points us to Jesus. And so then by coming to Jesus, we might then feed on him in our hearts. Jesus is the only one who can really satisfy that hunger and thirst, but we can only know him as he is revealed to us in the Bible. So, yes, do read your Bibles. I want to urge you, be diligent. Get to know your scriptures well. But do it not for Bible knowledge, but so that you might get to know Jesus more deeply, so that you might learn to love him more deeply. Let me finish now by reading to you just one last time those words from Isaiah 55. Imagine the shop owner standing on his ancient equivalent of a milk crate in the busy marketplace, and this voice cries out to you, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the water, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of food." How about I pray for us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you provide all of our needs, that you give us each day our daily bread. And Father, we thank you for the gift of the scriptures. Thank you for the Bible and for those who have worked so hard to provide it for us in our own language. And Father, we thank you above all for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, please help us as we go out tonight to feed on Christ in our hearts, to find satisfaction for our souls in Jesus Christ. Father, please help us to know him and to love him and to find great joy in knowing Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. And we ask this in his name. Amen.